and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord which engages us this morning comes from our Acts 1 lesson read earlier. You may be seated. Many of you already know that my wife and I had the opportunity, the privilege, to go and be in Israel last summer. It was wondrous to walk the land where Jesus walked 2 millennia ago, to get a sense of the landscape, the geography. I'm a very visual, tactile learner, so it was important for me to have that experience. If you've not been there before, I encourage you to try to find some opportunity to get there sometime in the next few years. For 2 weeks, we were on an archaeological dig at Hippos on the eastern edge on a hill off the Sea of Galilee, digging among walls and walking down streets that Jesus very well may have walked on himself. On the weekends, then, we got to go visit the various historical sites around Israel, the biblical sites where people believe Jesus was born in this particular place, that he cast out demons in another place, that he healed Peter's mother-in-law in another site, that he fed the 5,000 at yet another, and then most importantly, the site where he was thought to be crucified, died, buried, and rose again. Now, on nearly every one of these sites, there's some sort of chapel that has been built, either ancient chapel or a fairly modern chapel. Only two of those chapels are very large, the chapel in Bethlehem of the Church of the Holy Nativity and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where Jesus was thought to be crucified in one end of it and buried in another. Most of the rest of these chapels commemorating various biblical sites are rather medium-sized sanctuaries that might hold 100 to 150 people in them. The smallest, least impressive chapel that we saw on our visit was the Chapel of the Ascension at the Mount of Olives. If I had a screen here, I'd show you a picture of it. If you're interested enough, you can go and Google it and get a good picture of it yourself. It's an octagonal Romanesque structure designed in the 12th century, later modified by the Muslims. It's only about 25 or 30 feet in diameter, about 25 or 30 feet high. It rather looks like a limestone bullet. Not very attractive. It would actually fit inside of our communion rail and be maybe about the same height as our window there. Our group of 20 people walked in, and we rather filled it, at least around the outer edge, the inner edge of the walls. There were no pews, no chairs, no mosaics, no fancy ornate icons like there were in many of the other chapels we saw. The only thing noteworthy in this particular chapel was a slab of rock about 2 foot by 3 foot, separated off from the rest of the flooring. And in that slab of rock was an impression left, you got it, roughly in the shape of a foot. This is where tradition has it that Jesus left his last footprint on earth before he ascended into heaven. Now, that didn't fit with my picture of what the Ascension was like growing up as a kid and looking at the Sunday school materials that we got, or looking at the cartoons about Jesus' Ascension. In those, Jesus always looked like he kind of very slowly moved up, maybe 10 or 20 feet above the disciples, and then maybe a little more quickly up into the clouds, 100 or 200 feet away. But now then, if this was true, if there was a footprint impression, what did that mean about Jesus' ascension? I now had this image come to mind while I was in the chapel, that he was something like Neo of the Matrix, that leaned down and thrust himself up with great force, so great that the rock beneath him succumbed to the pressure. Now, Luke doesn't reveal to us the speed at which Jesus ascended. We don't know if he went slow, if he went fast. Luke simply says he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to admit that if I had been there, I would have been like the apostles, like the disciples, continuing just to gaze up into the air, trying to catch one more glimpse of Jesus maybe hoping that, you know, a few hundred yards away, he would just stop and stay there forever so we could always look up and see and know that he was there. But that was not to be. Instead, while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men dressed in white robes came and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." The ascension means eschatology. The disciples had been instructed by Jesus, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth." And this is what they did. Throughout the rest of the book of Acts, we see portrayals of Peter and James and John and Paul and Barnabas and Philip and others being witnesses of Christ's death, his resurrection, and his ascension. They were witnesses of Jesus while they awaited his return. And those waiting witnesses have gone on now for centuries. It seems fitting that this is the text for the last morning chapel of our chapel, of our chapels this year. The last morning chapel that many of you will attend before you leave here to go out to calls and vicarage and internship placements, to be another generation of those waiting witnesses of Christ's resurrection and his return. At the end of Paul's great treatise on Christ's resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, he ends with these words, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your work is not in vain." The smallest, least impressive chapel that we visited was on the Mount of Olives, the chapel of the Ascension. I'm not sure if at Jesus' ascension he left a footprint impression in a rock, but I do know that he continues to leave an impression of his grace, of his death, of his resurrection through us, his waiting witnesses. And God's word reveals that he is coming again. And when he comes, the whole world will feel his impression. We'll see his grace-filled glory and power. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Come, Lord Jesus, to us, your waiting witnesses. Amen.